Welcome, everybody, on this day of the feast. Let's go directly into the sermon for today. Normally, when we address the subject of the Feast of Tabernacles, we read Leviticus 23:33-44. But today, I want to start by considering the God of this world, who is described by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. And it states there. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So early on, the extents of the church, Satan blinded the knowledge about 1,000 years. The knowledge about the millennium and the belief in the millennium hadn't been lost yet in the 3rd century AD. A certain Tertullianus speaks of it on his writings dated in the 3rd century AD. He says that in the days after the resurrection, there will be a physical realm of Christ that will last a millennium. 1 century later, in the 4th century AD, Eusebius Pamphili of Caesarea also wrote about the millennium. But from then onward, the belief in the millennium gradually was lost. This happened when the Catholic Church put the book of Revelation on their list of forbidden books. In Revelation 20:1-6, the 1,000 years are addressed. From that time on, the Roman Empire began to be considered as God's kingdom. But we know that the kingdom of God is composed of God's family, who will form the government in the millennium, as was explained to us by Mr. Armstrong. So as we can see, Satan twisted and turned everything that God had in the store for humankind, considering his family. Therefore, we must stay close to him and repent every hour and every minute of our life, so Satan doesn't get a chance at spreading doubt about any of the 57 truths at all. We must cherish them and go through them again and again, and ask for God's help to hold fast to what he revealed to us through his apostles and prophets. Never to give up, but to continue steadfast, because what God has in store for us is so fantastic and beautiful. Let's now go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And we go to verse 33. In 33. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. The Feast of Tabernacles, symbolizing the millennium, starts with a high day, a yearly Sabbath. Verse 35, on the first day shall be an holy convocation. You shall do not several work therein. And then 6 more days to this 8th day, which again is the high day, a yearly Sabbath, and is called the last great day, which we will celebrate in a few days from now. Then, in verse 40, and yea, you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Mr. Wineland explained at the Feast of Tabernacles in 2006 that we are temporary dwellings that must bear fruit. So we are temporary until we are thus molded and fashioned that we can be placed into the spiritual temple of God, which is eternal. How exciting is God's plan for us? On in verse 41, and you shall keep it feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. It says there, It is an eternal statute forever in your generations. How then can the religions of this world claim that this feast have been done away with? We know that they cannot see, because they have not yet been called. Let's also have a look at John 6, 4, 4 and 65. John 6, 44. And 40, 65. We know these verses well, but it's expedient to review them again. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then in verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. They can't help it, but therefore, for us, it is even more important that we do take heed. It's extremely important for us to cherish the calling that God has given to us. That is something that will be easier in the future for the masses, because one will no longer be influenced by Satan and his demons. They will be bound at that time in the bottomless pit, abyss, as we find in Revelation 22-3. Revelation 22-3. Revelation 22-3. And he laid hold on the dragon, that is, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. One will no longer be restricted by the people in power who carried high positions. Those have been destroyed in the bottomless pit, as stated in Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Let's go to Joel. Joel 2:28. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. All stumbling blocks will be taken out of the way, and God will pour his spirit upon all flesh. All will have the ability to see the truth. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. They will be able to see the truth. Let's now go to Isaiah 11 verse 9. Isaiah 11 verse 9. Some pages back. Isaiah 11 verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea. The earth will be fulfilled with the knowledge of the Lord. And at that time, this knowledge must used work with. And this is the point that God can say, now I know you. Come and inherit my promise, my family, Elohim. I want to go to Matthew now to see what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount about the knowledge. Matthew 5:3. The knowledge that we must have for to go into the kingdom of God. He says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit, those who know they are poor in spirit, needy of God's Spirit. That means we must ask for God's Spirit daily, in prayer, in our care, in our car, or wherever we are. We must continually ask for His Spirit to be able to fight temptations and our own human nature. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek. The dictionary states the following about this. Pleasant, gentle, mild, humble, submissive, soft, mild, modest, sweet. And then verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be fulfilled. This means judging justly, righteously, striving to be righteous with God's help that lives in us. Then verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We must also strive to be merciful, for that is also a characteristic that God expects of us. Have pity on and take care of the less fortunate and the spiritual weak in God's church, and help them. In verse 8 then. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are we pure in heart? Am I pure in heart? Honest and fair? When I look at myself, I tend to see quite some rough spots, and then I ask God, help me, please, because I want you, you and your Son. Convert me and forgive me through the blood of your Son who has delivered me. Help me, Father. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, peacemakers. There's still some work to be done there, isn't it? For us, for myself, and for everybody. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Then, in verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Persecuted. Yes, we are the world, and some of the scattered churches persecute us by spreading false rumors about us. But God promises for those, the persecuted ones, is the kingdom, my government, my family. Continuing in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Be happy and joyful. That's not always easy, isn't it? When they do these things to us. Still God wants us to be thus, and He helps us, as long as we keep asking this help and Him daily. The prophets were persecuted, and now again a prophet is being innocently put in chains. You know, to me, this actually is one of the many proofs that this is God's church. Think about that, brothers. Let's go to Isaiah 2, 1, 5. Isaiah 2, 1, 5. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. This in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, means above all governments of this world. Jesus sits on his throne in Zion, in the house of the Lord. Verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The nations will go there out of their own free will. But what today's people say, I found a better translation for the scripture. But what does this people say? I found a better translation for this scripture. Many people will come and say, let's go to the mountain of the Lord God of Jacob and worship in his temple, into the house of the spiritual Israel. Is that verse 4? And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up swords against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a beautiful world, the world that is coming. Imagine, no more war, but that will take a lot of work to accomplish. As Mr. Armstrong said, it will take up to 4 generations to erase a lot of wrong thinking that is passed from generation to generation. Then verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. A beautiful time is approaching, brethren, and we who are pioneers will be allowed to be instrumental in helping it to come about. It's fantastic to fight for that right now and not to give up because of what Paul says in Romans 8:18-19. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed toward us. Verse 19. For the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. This is talking about the ultimate goal of being born as divine beings. And to us it's given to be instrumental in that time that is now before us, either as physical humans or as one of the 144,000. How awesome is God's plan? We must hold fast and stay in God's church. Otherwise, God cannot work with us and we won't be allowed to enter this age and to partake in it. So we do what is stated in Isaiah 2, verse 5. We walk in the light of the Lord, meaning we walk according to His laws and His commandments. By the way, the title for this sermon is The 1,000 Years. The 1,000 Years. We shall go now to Jeremiah 31 and on verses 1 till 14. Jeremiah 31, 1 till 14. At the same time, said the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. This said the Lord, the people which we were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Verse 3. The Lord had appeared unto me, saying, yeah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee and thou shalt be built. O Virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with my tabrets and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Israel, that will be restored. Verse 5. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as coming things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise, yea, and let us go up to the Zion unto the Lord of God. For thus said the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the sheaf of the nations, publish, yea, praise, yea, and say, O Lord, save the people the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that traveleth with child together. A great company shall return thither, gathered together from all over the world. That's what here is noted. Gathered from all over the world. Verse 9. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am the father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Verse 10. Hear the word. The word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in this isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather them him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and there shall be a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and all together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow, brought to Zion. Then verse 14. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. This will be built upon gradually, and God will dwell only in those that are committed to him, and he will work out his plan in every individual's life, and not one will be the same as the other. Everyone is unique, and God molds and fashions everyone so they will fit as stones in his temple. So again, do not give up and hold fast, because what is now right before us is so great. As I am preparing this sermon, I suddenly realize that I too sometimes forget how beautiful this all is, and how I must push myself more and be diligent and ask over and over again every day, Father, please help me and forgive me through the precious blood of your Son, and please keep living in me to do your works, because only you really know me and know what I need most to grow more and more towards you. We all need to do these things more in our lives, brethren. That is what God expects of us. Through trial and error, we must pick ourselves up again and again, and never give up. Sometimes that some have done in the past few years. It hurts to no longer have them among us. I can't help but notice in all conversations I have lately that it hurts, and that people wonder, how is this possible? How is this possible? And I've told those who have not experienced the apostasy the following. You can compare this on a small scale to what happened back then on a massive scale, and compare it to that hurt and pain of no longer being able to have them in our midst. Let's go to Ezekiel 36, verse 1. One chapter after Jeremiah, Ezekiel 36, verse 1. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Yea, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. This verse, the whole house of Israel, the mountains, are being addressed, the 12 tribes. On in verse 8 until 11, we can see how God is going to accomplish all this. But yeah, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel. for they are at hand of to come. Verse 9. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall tilt and sown. Verse 10. And I will multiply men upon you, and the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be built. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will know better unto you than I at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And in verse 22 till 27, verse 22, this said the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, said the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in your before their eyes. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. The clean water means that everyone will receive of God's Holy Spirit. They will receive God's Spirit, and thus they will be cleaned out of all corruption and of all idols they have worshipped in the form of worldly habits and customs and everything that is against God. They love the manon more than he who created them. Then in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh he will give us. Terry Rojack gave a sermon on this subject last April. It would be good to review this sermon and pray about it and consider how we can humble ourselves more before God so that he can accomplish this in us. And he can, if we do so. And look what is said in verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Awesome, brethren. Awesome. Verse 29. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. No more famine. Everyone will know the truth, and will be spiritual fed, so they can live God's purpose in their lives. They will be able to see what we can see right now, and it will be awesome to witness that happening. Verse 34, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. 36. Then the heathen that are left around about, you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and planned that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. The attention of the nations, all people on earth, will also be drawn. Then verse 37. This said the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall he waste cities, be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And where is Christ? Let's go to Revelation 14, verse 1. Revelation 14, verse 1. 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with them 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. This is Zion. The government is established there, in the house of God, as we just read in Isaiah 2, verse 2. There are few people whose position is mentioned in the Bible, the positions that they will occupy after they have been resurrected in the first resurrection. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Here is that David shall be king over the tribes of Israel. Ezekiel 34, 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Ezekiel 37, 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them, with Jesus Christ as shepherd, as the head. Luke 22, 29 and 30. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father that appointed unto me. Verse 30 from Luke 22. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The apostles will each rule over one of the tribes of Israel. That's what Jesus said here. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in regenerations, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone will have access to salvation. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Brethren, we must fight our own human nature with the help of God's Spirit, so that later we can also help out in that world that is coming. And it doesn't matter whether you are physical or if you are spiritual being at that time. What matters is that God's plan to bring everyone to repentance and conversion grows and grows throughout those 1,000 years. I'd like to now quote part of what Mr. Armstrong wrote about repentance. So, a Christian, someone who is truly converted, is someone who has received the Holy Spirit of God, and in whose mind that Spirit lives. But how can someone receive God's Spirit? On the day that the church was established, the Apostle Peter said in Acts 2:38, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Of what? Of sin? But what is sin? Check out in 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. Transgression of what law? Mr. Armstrong asked. The law which carnal humans, who are by nature enmity to God, are not subject to God's law. Romans 8:7, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. In the same article of Mr. Armstrong, we also read, the Holy Spirit that God has given to them who are obedient to Him. Acts 5:32. And we are His witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. There are two conditions for receiving the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, repentance and faith. Baptism is the outward sign of the inner belief in Jesus Christ. Repentance isn't just being sorry about something you did, nor even about the amplitude of sins. It is deep remorse and repentance about self, what you were and what you are. A sincere loading of your former mindset and life without God. It is a total change of yourself, of your thoughts, your heart and your way of life. It is change of lifestyle. It is a turning away of the selfish ways of vanity, selfishness, greed, rebellion against authority, envy, strife and indifference about the well-being of others. It means turning toward a godly way of life in obedience, submission to authority, love towards God above love towards self, and love and care for your fellow mankind as much as the love for yourself. In Romans 13 verse 10 it says, love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And in Romans 7:14, or we know that the law is spiritual and can only be fulfilled because the love of God had been shed abroad in our hearts through His Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. Romans 5:5. On in Mr. Armstrong's article, the Holy Spirit opens one's minds for understanding of God's teachings concerning His way of life, but will not force anyone to live God's way of life. There is no constraint involved. Each Christian must act upon their own initiative, but gets help from God's Spirit, faith and strength, but only those who are, and then this is the verse from Romans 8:14, led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Beautiful how Mr. Armstrong captures the meaning of remorse and repentance, to be led by God's Spirit as sons of God. Incredible. And that's what it is all about, to become sons together with our older brother and Redeemer, Savior, Jesus Christ. We must be made spirit, and that involves trial and error. Perseverance, never to give up. What is being offered to us is awesome. Those who will be born during the millennium and those who will be resurrected at the great white throne will also have to do all this to attain to belonging to the God family. The account of the great white throne can be found in Revelation 20. Verses 12 till 13. Revelation 20, 12, 13. That's not good. Revelation 20, the verses 12 till 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. This verse is usually quoted on the last great day. Jesus explained this to Nicodemus, how that man can become a son of God. John 3 verses 1 till 6. John 3 verses 1 till 6. In verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He represented the Jews' religion. In verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you dost, except God be with him. He did see at that time that Jesus was a teacher, a scribe from God, but doesn't see that he was the Messiah. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So how is that worldly religions can say that they have already been born again and that the church itself is the kingdom? Jesus says that we cannot see the kingdom, and they say that they've already been born again. And they say that they are being born again. I remember that that was one of the first things that Mr. Katz changed in the Worldwide Church of God. And at the time I thought, well, that's not what I've been taught through Mr. Armstrong from God. But it comes from God. Mr. Armstrong told it from God given. And I remember the first thing that I did after that, I went through the booklet again when I get home that he had written on that subject. At that time I did not know what more would happen in the church later on. How practically everything what had so beautiful been taught to us by Mr. Armstrong would be rejected. Now back to John 3 verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? To be able to see this, we need God's calling and God's Spirit. We can see it. We can see it. Let's never forget how unique this is for such a small amount of people that are in God's church at this time. To me, again, that is one of the proofs that this is the only one true church. Let's go to Luke 12:32 quickly to see what Jesus says about the Verse 32, what he says about the Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, no large as the worldly churches are, no, but small always has been, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, his family. We need to consider this calling every day of our life, the reason why we can see and understand all this, and this life according to the way of life that God expected from us. Live according to the way of life that God expected from us. John 3, 4, 5, verse 5, going back. Jesus answered, Very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Cleansed by God's Spirit. You don't have to turn there, but in John 7, verses 38 and 39, it says, He that believe on me, as the scriptures had said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You don't have to turn. Go back to verse 3 of John 3. We go back to verse 6 of John 3. Verse 6 of John 3. We go back. Put your finger. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and what which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Here Jesus says that we will get a spiritual body if we repent, are baptized, and keep God's commandments. Let's now go over to Isaiah 35, the verses 1 till 10. Isaiah 35, 1 till 10. To look and see how this 1,000 years slowly but surely will pan out, because it will not all happen all once, but spread out over years. It will become to be more and more beautiful in time, as things are being prepared for the second resurrection, at which time a paradise-like environment will be achieved. Verse 1 from Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice, and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Jehovah, the excellency of our God. This what God says, and he will make it come to pass. Amazing! We need to be more in awe for our Almighty God and Father, and strive towards perfection with his help. We must think upon these things that are before us more often, in order to be more motivated in our daily struggle, in our daily fight. In Romans 8, verse 18, 19, Romans 8:19, Paul says, "For I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." Word. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the revealing of the sons of God." So, brethren, whatever comes to pass with us in the physical tribulation, and whatever we suffer in our daily lives, spiritual, it does not compare to what God has in store for us. It does not compare to what God has in store for us. Don't forget. Back to Isaiah 35, verse 3. "Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." Magnificent what God inspired to be written here, and the promise that he gives us here to be set free from the influence of Satan and the deception that he has caused in the past 6,000 years. Redemption through the blood of and the suffering of Christ. It also states, "Be strong, fear not." That reminds me of what God says in 1 John 4:4. You don't have to turn there. "Yeah, you are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world." Verse 5. Verse 5 from Isaiah 35. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." Everyone will be able to see and understand the truth, the Sabbath, God's holy days, and God's law, the Ten Commandments, the tithing system, beautiful. Those 1,000 years that are before us, beautiful. Verse 6, "Then shall the lamb man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Lamb can also be explained spiritual as deceived by Satan. He has deceived the world with the exception, the true church of God. And we are part of that. We are part of that true church of God. And he has the whole world, but we are blessed who can see this all. There will also be physical healing, the right knowledge of healthy, living, clean and unclean food, etc., etc. See Isaiah 33:24. "And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." Through repentance you receive forgiveness of their iniquity, it says. Our God forgives manifold, is what we read in the Bible. Many scriptures in the Bible mention how God removes our iniquities far away from us. Let's go to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. See? Started in verse 10 till 13. The verses 10 till 13. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far that he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them that fear him. On in Isaiah 35, verse 7, we go Isaiah 35, verse 7. And the precious ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each stay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. What a wonderful world, that world tomorrow that is coming, as Mr. Armstrong often stated. Verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, through fools shall not err therein. The way of holiness, referred to by Christ as the narrow path, the way of growth, through the works that the Father will accomplish in all humans, but one has to surrender to him, because it also says that no unclean shall go over into it. So if you keep on holding on to your habits and wrong ways, and you do not repent and keep on the broad way, you would get in. I'm speaking to myself also, because I realized that there is still a lot of work to do here, pointing at myself. But I know that I must preserve and hold fast to be able to keep on following this road, this way of life, to the end, and to keep on fighting, to overcome, without ever giving up. It's so incredible, all that is being offered to us, all that will be born during those 1,000 years, that will be able to instantly see the truth from a very young age, and who will come to the point of baptism at some time in their life, will also have to walk in that way of holiness. Verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Satan won't be around, but human nature will still be. Verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Ransomed by the blood of our elder brother, given for all mankind. God says in 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Before the 1,000 years can begin, all governments of this world must first be replaced by God's government. That is the fourth truth, and the first truth given by Mr. Armstrong during the Philadelphia era. We can find a description of those different governments in Daniel 2, verse 31 till 35. Daniel 2, Daniel 2, 31, 35. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form therefore was terrible. Verse 32. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. The first kingdom, gold, was the Chaldean. The second kingdom, silver, was the Persian kingdom. The third, the copper, was the Greek Macedonian kingdom, and splintered into four parts. And finally, verse 33, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. The fourth empire that Roman made of iron consisted of 10 kingdoms, of which the last 7 were fully controlled by the beast power. This is described in Revelation 13 and 17. Revelation 13 and 17. Let's go to Revelation 13 and 17. Mr. Wynand gave a sermon series on this subject entitled Late in the Night. It consisted of 3 sermons, of which the later 2 thoroughly cover this subject. They are dated the 20 and 27th of October 2012. We are now living in the last of those 7 kingdoms. See Revelation 17, 10. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when it comes, it must continue a short space. Mr. Armstrong saw this when Hitler and Mussolini were in power. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, the German Reich at that time, and another is not yet to come, and he must continue a short space. And then verse 34, back from Daniel. Daniel 34. Daniel 2:34. Daniel 2:34. Thou sawest still that the stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet, that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer, threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and fulfilled the whole earth. This became a great mountain, and fulfilled the whole earth, will be God's government. Verse 44. And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, nor shall sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Jesus Christ will come with the 144,000, and then the millennium, the 1,000 years, will start. We can read more about this in Revelation 21-6. Revelation 21-6. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. Satan and the demons will be replaced by Christ and his first fruits. Verse 2. And I saw an angel coming down out of the heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Verse 3. And cast him into the abyss and shut it, and sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until the 1,000 years should be finished. After this, he must be loosed for a little time. He can no longer deceive the nations. That is good news, the gospel. The kingdom, God's family, will be established, and Satan can no longer broadcast through the air. This was also so beautifully explained to us by Mr. Armstrong, the broadcast of Satan in the air. On in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been healed for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such a worship not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Judgment was given to them. We are now being judged. 1 Peter 4:17. Now, we go to 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So all who have been called and are in God's church are now being judged. The same is true for everyone who will be born during the 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, many will be added to the numbers of the 144,000. Then the second resurrection will come, and judgment will be passed on those who then will live for a second time during the 100 years period in which they will get time to walk according to God's way of life. And in verse 4 of Revelation 20, we go back to Revelation 20, verse 4. It says that same thing about the 144,000, that judgment will be passed on them. And this, verse 4, also mentions the souls of them that been healed. This was explained us by Mr. Wineland. I always had trouble understanding this verse and thought, so then my head shall also roll when that beast power is going to persecute us in the future. Would indeed the beast power behead those who will not accept their teachings? So I was very happy with the explanation given by Ron, and I have slept better ever since. What this here means is that they are cut off from the world because of holding on to God's ways. It's not your head that must go off, but you are cut off from the world. It's good that Ron has explained this. And that is what we must strive to do, to be as strangers and pilgrims in this world. We go now to Hebrews 11:13. Hebrews 11:13. The belief chapter. We are going often to the Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them as far off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14. For they that say things declare plainly that they seek a country, and that they look forward to that better world that's being offered to us. And then a couple of pages further in Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This world will come to an end, and we look forward to the one still to come. Back to Hebrews 11:39 now. Back to Hebrews 11:39. And this all having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. We have not received the promise yet. We also, brothers. On in verse 4 of Revelation 20 now. Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were healed for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, and neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The mark on their foreheads and on their hands is not just the weekly Sabbath, but also pertains to God's feasts, like the feast we are now observing. And the later part of this verse talks about the 144,000 who will reign with Christ during the 1,000 years. Verse 5. but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This verse refers to the last great day, to the second resurrection, a holy day that we will observe a few days from now. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The second death has no power, meaning eternal life, eternal life. Let us persevere and not give up for that which God has set before each of us, a place in his family. We are all unique to him, and all are different, and God used that to mold us into his temple. Now, I would like to quote part of what Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages in chapter 7, titled The Mystery of the Kingdom of God, and more specific about the financial policies of this world, compared to that which is coming in the world tomorrow, which is based upon God's first, second and third tithe system. Mr. Armstrong wrote the following. Economy of the world healed. Since governments will be in the hands of spiritual family of God and partly administered by those human leaders directly under the great ruling family, and since there will be no huge bureaus watching other huge bureaus which are suspiciously watching other bureaus, no military establishment, no intelligence agencies or members of Interpol, no huge cartels, monopolies, unions or giant government spending, the economic of the world will be healed. Think of it. No more foreign aid programs. No more wasted billions to buy lovers. Alias. Ezekiel 23 verse 9. He mentioned in this article. He noted. Wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers. Into her hand of the Assyrians. Upon whom she doted. And verse 22, therefore, O Haliba, thus said the Lord God, behold, I will raise up the lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. And now in Lamentations 1 verse 2, Lamentations 1 verse 2, she wept sure in the night, and the tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she had none the comfort here. Her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. And verse 19, I called from my lovers, but they deceived me. My priest and my elders gave up the spirit in the city, while they sought them food to refresh their souls. And Mr. Armstrong goes further. You can also read Ezekiel 16 at home if you want. He goes further in the article. No more foreign aid. None of the wasted billions to buy lovers, alias, who turn and rent you later. No more string-attached government grants to industry, to science and space technology, to schools and institutions for research. Instead, every necessary industry, educational, institutional and business will be in sound financial condition. What a world that will be, Mr. Armstrong wrote. Let's now turn to Micah 4:1-4. What's the Micah 4:1? Verses 1 till 4. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, the larger nations, and it shall be exalted above the hills. the smaller nations, and people shall flow into it, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, what was just covered, God's laws, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Then in verse 3, and he, Christ, shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Incredible! No more war, but peace, that will come to pass by people living by God's laws. And the farther we go into the 1,000 years, the more blessings will be added, and along with those also prosperity. Verse 4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Everyone will live in a world reigned by Jesus Christ, and under that godly government, the earth will be flooded with happiness and abundance, as we saw in the scriptures we just read. Education will also be transformed. No more revolution rubbish. Paraphrasing what God says, man's wisdom is foolishness unto me. There will also no longer be different religions, but one truth and one faith. And that truth and that faith can only come from God. Ghettos and slums will disappear and be replaced by decent housing. Men will be able to see the suffering that Satan has instigated during all 6,000 years. Unhappiness, pain, hate, discrimination, jealousy, envy, and so on. And they will see that all those things came about because mankind would not live by God's laws, the law that are based upon love, godly love, agape. Mankind shall also experience prosperity and good health by, when they do, keeping God's food laws, and their happiness will be the result of the powerful execution of God's government. And yes, of course, there will be those, maybe even many, who will still rebel and reject God's way, and will refuse to repent and accept the sacrifice and the blood that Christ gave for them too. But let's hope and pray that most people will come to salvation and eternal life without Satan's presence. As we said, human nature will still be there, but the fight will be less intense than what we experience now. That's why what God gives to us now, and Satan is the instrument in this, is a great opportunity to be pioneers in that world, in his world tomorrow. That is now quickly coming. Just imagine how incredible that is. We are such a small group right now, and God has decided to give this to you and to me personally, so that later on we can tell people how we fared in this age. We can tell them about the apostasy that took place under Mr. Tkach, and even how people still fell away up to the very end. We can also tell them that they must take heed never to take anything for granted, and how this will be a battle for them too, a battle that they can win with God's help and his indwelling. They will hear about Laodicea and what happened during that era. They will hear about how people in God's church, let's just read it. It's good to read these verses again. Revelation 3, verse 15. Revelation 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. People had become lukewarm and were spewed out. Verse 17. Because you sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. This rich and increased with goods is an attitude of, well, we know it all. And then you started to take everything for granted. We must battle this attitude and stay close to God so He can help us not getting lukewarm. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white remained, that you mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you mayest see. So that we will repent from being naked and poor, and stand on our 2 feet again to put on the white raiment with clothing, garments that God is offering to us to wear. So those who will still be mortal in God's church that will enter the millennium will work together with they who will be immortal, the woman, the 144,000 with her husband Christ. God's household is a family that rules and reigns, one government and one kingdom, as we just read. Daniel described this establishment of this kingdom of God and how Jesus Christ will remove all ruling governments at his return and how he will be at the head of one world government. Let's go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. Daniel 7 and then in verse 13. Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Christ ascended to God's throne in heaven. God is Almighty over the whole universe. What Daniel saw in this vision was the Almighty God and Father, here described as the Ancient of Days, of Jesus Christ giving that rulership to him, Jesus. In the dictionary it says the following about reign: rule, govern, power, dominion, hold sway, commanded, sovereignty. And he will receive royal power. Now in verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His domination is an everlasting domination, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. The peoples and nations all over the world that speak different languages will all be ruled over by God's family, God's government, God's kingdom, with at its head He who is worthy, Jesus Christ. So what will the 144,000 and all who will later be added once have been born again look like? Let's go to Philippians 3 verse 21. Philippians 3. 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, fashioned like his glorious body. Let's go to 1 John 3, verse 2. 1 John 3. And then verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what does the glorified Christ look like? Let's go to Revelation 1:14. Revelation 1:14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So this is what all who are born from God will look like. And let's not forget what Jesus told Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So one needs to be made spiritual first. They will be able to manifest themselves in human form, as we have read about Christ after his resurrection, when he appeared many times to the disciples. And so, brethren, when reading these verses again, we must go on and ask God in prayer day after day to help us with our conversion, so that we can grow and be diligent in keeping this way of life, so that we can fight against the sin within us and resist it, and live like all that have gone before us, about whom we can read in Hebrews chapter 11. Do read this when you get back home and pray about it, that you may be able following their example. I will do this because I and you all who are present here must hold fast and never give up if we want to be born into God's family. Let's now go to Zechariah 14:4. Zechariah just before Malachi. Zechariah 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave into the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of the toward the south. We know that that will be on a Pentecost, and that the 144,000 will stand there alongside him. Verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Living water is the Holy Spirit that will be available to all. Fantastic. Finally, everyone will be able to see the truth and do as we do now, walk in God's ways with the help and thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son. Verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one, king over the whole earth. We've just seen how that is going to come about. Verse 11. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more other destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited, no longer driven out of their countries, as happened to the last 12 tribes, 11 tribes of which Joseph's sons were divided into two tribes by his father Jacob, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Satan will no longer be able to spiritual exile humanity. In other words, humanity that has been forced, that be blinded and cut off from God's world during those full 6,000 years. The promised land that is just ahead of us. But we can see that now, because God has opened our minds to see that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We are so incredibly blessed, brethren, to be able to see this, to be freed from the shackles of Satan. As Jesus said, the truth shall make you free, in John 8:32. And we are free because God lives in us, and we can change because of that, and be freed by putting these sins out of our life. We have also learned that God is reproducing himself, and steadily the family of God grows. Finally, delivered from exile, finally out of the clutches of Satan and his demons. Verse 12. And this shall be the plagues wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they standing upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That is what is now ahead of us, and what must come to pass. Humility must be brought low, and then, and only then, men will listen and let go of their pride and surrender to God to be baptized and start to learn how to live His way of life. Only then men will start to observe His Sabbaths, and will they put away their pagan holidays like Christmas, Easter, and all the other pagan days they hold on to. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lords of Hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. To also starts observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus Christ also observed the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's go and see in John 7, verse 8. Started in verse 8, John 7. John 7. John 7, verse 8. Go you up upon this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Now his time has been fulfilled. Now he is ready to go into the feast. Now at this moment. Verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secrets. This states that he not only observed the Feast of Tabernacles, but also all the other holy days that his Father instituted. How, then, can the worldly religion say that this true feasts of God are abolished? We know, but only because God has been so merciful to us to place us into his only true church on earth. Incredible. This humble all of us even more, and should because as even more to pray and ask daily, Father, thank you for giving me this, for being able to understand this. Please keep me humble and forgive me my inquinates, because I want you and nothing else. Help me against the attacks from Satan. Help me to put on the full armor and to keep it on, because what you have in store for me is so great. And it is that what I want. And no matter what happens, we just want to overcome. We need to look out for each other in the church and offer a helping hand where needed, or just build each other up with uplifting words. We must love each other because we are all His children of He who has called us. Verse 11. Then the Jews sought Him at the feast and said, Where is He? Here it is again. They're clearly talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And in verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught again, in the middle of the feast. So the feast was halfway through. Verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but from His that sent me. He always gave all the credit to the Father. That is something we all must do too, and never to think that it all came from us. Verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it will be of God or whether it speaks of myself. Verse 18. He that speaketh of myself seek his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. The simple fact of this sermon that I must give shows me even more that all must come from him. He has to inspire, and I have to receive it in humbleness, and then the words and scriptures come to me. Incredible. Incredible, brethren. Now, a little further in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he thought, saying, "You both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not coming of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. Likewise, we did not come to God's church on our own initiative. No, God placed us in his church and opened our minds, and that is how we know him. If we just stay close to him every day, so that he can accomplish in us to be willing and able both to will and to work." Philippians 2 verse 13. That he both do the will and the work in us, so we can grow and bear fruit, so that he or Father at a given moment in time can say to us, as he said to Abraham, "For now I know you. You will inherit my kingdom, my household, my family." And verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me." Verse 34. "You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come." Yet again, Jesus is crystal clear about this, and still the worldly religions proclaim that we all go to heaven. We will not touch upon verse 37 and 38, for they pertain to the last great day, the final feast in God's plan. Let's return to Zechariah 14, the verses 17-18. Zechariah 14, 17-18. "And I shall be those who will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Verses 18. "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherever the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Look at that. So if you do not observe the Feast of Tabernacles during those 1,000 years that are coming, you will not be blessed. The same counts for us now. We are observing the feast, brethren, and look how blessed we are by God with all the truths that we have been given over the past few years. And look at the growth we can see in each of us. This is also the result of going through the 4.5 years without giving up. And it is physically as well as spiritually. God bless all who keep his commandments and statutes, who go on in the obedience even if things don't pan out as we expected it. We must continue to follow God and not give up. We must go forward even when we find ourselves right before the Red Sea. Verse 19. "This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Everyone, meaning all people. And it also states that it is a sin not to observe the feast. And this counts for all the other 6 feasts of God as well. Let's look at Deuteronomium 16, verse 13. "Thou should observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." After thou hast gathered. This means we have to set aside second tithes. That is also commanded that God gives us to do apart from the first tithes, which everyone who has an income, a job, must also give unto God. Those second tithes are for you, yourself, to observe the feast of God. And they are mainly used for the Feast of Tabernacles. It is for all the feasts, but mainly for the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 14. "And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and the manservant and the maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. To rejoice, that is what God asks of us, and we must be grateful that we can do this. He opened our minds to this. He showed us that we should observe the feast. We must be grateful that we are no longer blind as the world is. We must rejoice and be thankful and have love amongst ourselves and involve everyone in the church. Make everyone be a part of it. It is a feast that we all observe together. So no one should be left out on their own. No, no, no. We must rejoice together. Let's look at what David wrote about that joy and that happiness that we should have. Psalm 100, verse 1. Psalm 100, 1 till 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Make a joyful noise and sing. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, 19 till 21. You don't need to turn there. Ephesians 5, 19 till 21. Speak to one another with the words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your hearts. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. Verse 21. Submit yourselves to one another because of your reverence for Christ. We go back to Psalm 100, verse 3. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people. We are his flock. He is our God and Father. We belong to him through baptism. And through that baptism, he and his son, Jesus Christ, can live in us, in his people, his sheep. Fantastic. What it says here. We are his flock. As sheep, God leads us, molds and fashions us to be made ready to go into those 1,000 years and to develop more and more until we can become Elohim. Incredible. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and bless his name. Strive to go into these gates, his courts, with thanksgiving and praise. Father, please help us to continue and not to give up, because what you have done for us is so beautiful. Help us to have that joy during this feast, so that we can be pleasing to you. And give us your agape, godly love, through your Spirit that lives in us. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness endures forever. His faithfulness to all generation. His loving kindness. That is mercy, forgiveness, gentleness, grace, forbearing and kind into all eternity. And his faithfulness. He won't forsake us. He helps us in every situation, always, even though it may sometimes seem that he is not in us. That's not the case. If you purge out sin and repent time and time again, then he is in you. We know that God cannot and will not live in someone who sins. But he is faithful and does help us in all that we ask of him. All things concerning our repentance and spiritual growth. Beautiful, the God that we serve. I cannot state it enough. What a beautiful plan our God has for us. To finish now, we go to Deuteronomy 16, 15. Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. 7 days shall you keep the feast unto the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God will bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work of thy hands, and they shall be altogether joyful. And those 1,000 years which we have discussed today are celebrating in this Feast of Tabernacles. Let us therefore be joyful.